It's 8:14. Mike Sutherland joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Scott?
Good.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for being interested in this project.
Yeah, sure. First, let's talk about you personally. How's your health?
Well, I'm doing real good now. It's been nip and tuck in terms of getting back on track for the past 6 weeks, but I really feel good. Those people at St. Joseph are wonderful. I'm going through cardiac rehab at St. Joseph now, and they're really tough on making you do what you should be doing. My doctor says to walk, and I walked 4.5 miles last night for about an hour and so. So I feel really good.
Well, it's finally going to be nice enough that you can walk about any time.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was so bad for me. Now that I think back through what happened, is that when I started out at the council, I was walking up the stairs inside. I stopped doing that because of the pain. And then I couldn't even walk up the stairs in the front of the building without having to take a break.
Wow.
And so after I passed out a couple of times, I went to the hospital. And
so what was the situation? I mean, so that people can understand and they may be experiencing
something. What brought me to the hospital was I had pain, but I thought that was indigestion or something. I really wasn't concerned about it because I'd lived with it for 3 or 4 years. But anyway, I was passing out, too. My heart rate was down to about 39, 35, and I was out in the country with one of my kids, with my youngest son, and we were lined up to shoot a rifle. I walked back 60 feet to his truck and hit the ground. He said, "Dad, can you get up?" I said, "Well, oh, I think so."
Wow.
And so I walked around the front of his truck. And I totally went out. He had to get me in the truck and take me back to the house. So,
man.
So Monday we went over to the hospital, and they just took me into the emergency room at St. Joseph and tested me for 2 days and tried to finally figure it out. The doctor, finally they did one of those heart cath deals where they're looking.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Mike, look at this. You ought to be dead." I said, "Well, that's not good news. So this is what we're going to do," she says.
So we got you cleaned out, and you're
ready
to go.
I have a pacemaker, too. So I'm in good
shape. There you go.
I feel great.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk business. Let's first of all talk about last night.
Okay.
High-speed rail. Brian is going to buy into being a
Tuesday
group.
Night.
Tuesday night. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're going to buy into the idea of trying to explore high-speed rail again.
Yes, right. And I didn't, from the information we had at the city council meeting, I didn't really understand how with that $25,000 you could impact what was going on, because we talked to our representatives all the time. So that's why I was against it initially. But then the other council members put their thoughts out on the table, and I understand a little more about it, so I was willing to go along with it. So it may not be a $25,000 deal, maybe $12.50, but anyway.
Okay, but you're going to buy into it.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we got a special election coming up.
Yes,
you can
sir.
Vote right now. Early voting began on Monday, but the election date is actually on November the 8th.
Right.
Two questions before
okay.
the city, and the citizens are asked what to do with that piece of land that is now the municipal golf course. So what's your feeling as one member of council on that?
I wrote a letter to the editor about that some time ago. But parks are very important to the growth of a city, to attract people to your town. As a matter of fact, in the 80s, we have a rule in our code of ordinances that if you file a plat, rearranging property, you have to set aside parkland. And if you don't set aside parkland, you have to pay into the system. And we said then it's very, very important for us, for the citizens' health and welfare. So and now we have about 600 acres in our park system. College Station has 1,100. And I looked at other cities that are successful, and they have a tremendous park system. As a matter of fact, Austin, it has a deal on their ballot this November the 8th to spend $82 million more buying one section of land, about 800 acres. So from that, it's very important. And what happens to us is we don't do things systematically. The people on the Bryan Business Council have a friend that says, "Hey, we want to buy that golf course." And we say, "Oh, yeah, we can get it to you, no problem. We'll just change it out and all this stuff." It happened to us three different times so far. It happened to us on the Health Science Center. Somebody from A&M said, "We wanted to put it on the golf course." We said, "Oh, yeah, that's wonderful." I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about others. Then Blinn College was a good location, good to be there. And now somebody's made us an offer. I don't know what the offer is. I hadn't seen it, but somebody's made us an offer. So we're going through the process of making it available to them.
Well, what do you mean somebody's made us an offer?
Well, somebody has made the BBC an offer to purchase the golf course.
Anybody on council seen that offer?
No, I haven't seen it.
No. Has anybody on council, to your knowledge, seen
it? I don't
offer?
Know.
So there's speculation that there's an offer.
No, there is an offer. The city attorney has it, but it's confidential, so it's
okay.
not releasable. Because I asked for it, and she has it in her office.
So you don't want that land to be given up for some sort of a venture that would take it off the parks.
Exactly. It needs to stay a park. We don't have enough park space now. So if it's not a golf course,
right,
it could. We need baseball. Since I've been on the council, people have come to me about baseball fields, about soccer fields, about Pony League, you know, football. There's all kinds of needs like that. And if you just move the golf course off of there, you got walking trails already, you know, with those cart paths.
So, but Mike, if they sell that, that money has to go into the park fund.
Well, but the way that works is, yeah, it'll go into the park fund, but what the park's getting now will be reduced. So it's just like they did with the lottery.
Why do you say it will be reduced? There's not been anything that says it will be reduced.
Well, I know, but there's some other movement to get some money to that Bridge to Nowhere in the road, the $4 million that they need for that. So there's other pressure on the system to get some more money into economic development. Now, let's do economic development. We have areas all over this town that we put tons of money in that are not complete. So one thing I think we need to do first is make sure those things get built out before we give up anything else, especially a park.
All right. So I got your point of view there. Right, now, okay. And that's fine. And that's now, if Proposition number one is approved by the voters,
right,
then you have at least put one offer to the Briarcrest board.
Yeah, yeah.
That's come back.
Oh, now you're talking about if...
Now
if
we're going to move to second number two.
Okay. Right, okay.
Because I understand the parkland designation.
Yeah.
I like the idea of highest best use. Okay,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
I kind of like
and
that.
And we did a study on that, and they said keep it as the golf course. Keep
Understand.
It as a golf course.
Group out of Austin did that
exactly
study.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But you have an opportunity possibly to buy Briarcrest,
right,
which would give you a golf course,
right,
and
a lot more,
and also other facilities.
Right. Right.
And again, highest best use. Brian would probably be the best person to buy Briarcrest because if somebody else comes in, who knows what they would do with the other facilities that are there.
Yeah, exactly right.
So how do you feel about the question of buying Briarcrest?
Well, as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, maybe three now, we asked the city manager to look into that. That was when it was really a lot tougher situation for them than it is now. And I don't know what happened. They drugged their feet or something. That went away. But I see that as but the city's in a great position in terms of the assets they have to use at the Briarcrest Country Club, which will reduce the operating costs tremendously. And the city's, if you consolidate the total golf play between Brian Muni and the Briarcrest Country Club right now, my guess is there's pretty good profit in that.
Okay.
That's very appealing. Plus, you pick up all those facilities, another swimming pool, tennis courts, and racquetball courts, and a meeting facility for people that we don't have that College Station clearly has now.
But you've got to pass one to be able to move to two.
What, pass the
one? If Proposition number one is approved, it doesn't commit the city to
right.
take any action.
Right.
But the city can then have the authority to move forward.
To sell the golf course.
And right. presume that they'll have an offer to Briarcrest by next week?
Now, we already have. That's why I had that. I made that motion in the open session so people can understand. We've been working on that for quite some time.
I understand, right.
And initially we made an offer, and they accepted it, but they had some conditions they wanted, and that kind of got muddled up. But last night or Tuesday night, I think we're on the same page, and we'll just have to see what they say. But
are you in favor, as one member of council, of the city buying Briarcrest?
Yes, from what I know now, but I would like to see, once they accept the offer finally, we have 60 days
right.
to look through all the books and everything. And what I've seen now, I think it's going to be a great position for Bryan City, the citizens of Bryan, not just some real estate folks.
So can you say today, to assuage any fears of golfers that there won't be any golfing facility, you don't foresee a situation where there would not be a city-owned golf course?
Well, no, I don't know about that.
I'm asking that.
Yeah, well, the combination of things, if we don't get control of Briarcrest, and we sell Muni, whoever buys Briarcrest is going to have a really good deal. So that could be a public course, but owned privately.
But you just said to me that you think that stuff is taken care
yeah,
of.
Yeah, but it's not absolutely done, you know. So I'm thinking that we vote no to be sure we got a golf course, and then we see what happens with Briarcrest. Because we don't have anything right now. We don't have anything in hand. And if the people say on that second proposition, don't buy Briarcrest, I can't, although it's not binding, you know, when you ask your boss what to do and he tells you what to do or she tells you what to do and you don't do it, I think you're in trouble. So, you know.
Under what conditions could you vote yes for number one? As one member of council?
I couldn't. None. Never. Never.
Even if you've got a deal,
No, that doesn't have anything to
you
do.
You can't
with
come
it.
Back and revisit this
we
at a later
need
time.
That, we need that park space.
Why does it have to be there?
Well, where are you going to put it? Well, what's it going to cost to replace it?
Mike.
And it's been there 75 years.
Well, look, now that has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, yeah,
no. Look. How do developments move geographically? The population shift can cause development.
That's
look
right.
at Brack. Brack was in the middle of nowhere when you built that.
Yeah, but you don't need to be next door to that park to use it.
But there, as you well know, in real estate, location is very important.
That's right.
That is a great location for all sorts of things.
Absolutely. And we've already done that with the Tejas Center. So you're going to put something else to compete with them?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of development might possibly
go
in there, but it can't be developed as long as it's parkland.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but you could, if you, we got places downtown we spent money on.
Right.
You know, south downtown, north downtown.
Right.
You got the Health Science Center. You got the Biomedical Corridor. You got Traditions. You got the east side of Bryan over there. Park Hudson's paying for itself and built out.
Okay.
But you got that Target area that's totally open, north of the Target area.
You also have undeveloped area on the west side of town that can become the fields that you talked about, the baseball fields and the soccer fields.
On the west side of town, do you know how much that costs?
Sandy Point Road, that area over there?
Well, that's very expensive. That whole side. And that probably needs to be developed in terms of the economic part.
I'm saying that the kinds of things that you are envisioning there could be in other parts of the city. And as the population shift moves from one side to the other, because we're starting to get development on both east and west.
They could be, but look at the towns that are really successful, like New York City. Their Central Park. How much do you think that's
worth? It's a wonderful thing.
They staved off many of trying to sell that sucker.
But I don't
Hyde Park in London, Houston.
I know. Excuse me. Those three are in the same country. Aside from that, I don't know that they have much to do with Bryan. All right,
the way we started. Right. I mean, they started like us.
Mike Sutherland with us. I want to move to the Bryan Animal Care Center.
All right, okay.
Because you're on the advisory board, I believe.
Yes, sir. I'm the
and,
chair.
You're the chair of that.
Right.
It has not been good. Your director left basically without notice after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
This week on a chat room, there was an appeal that 20 animals had to be fostered or adopted that day to keep them from being euthanized.
But that's a normal process.
Now, 20 in a day, we're asking for people to volunteer to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't tell me that you're happy with where you are right now.
Well, because they're going through a process of getting everything established. I am. Okay. I've been over there. I've talked to Hugh Walker. I've sat down with the plans. We reviewed their plans at our meeting. And, you know, they're doing things that they've never done before, so I don't really fault them for that.
Well, but y'all are the ones who decided to do that.
Well, not totally.
Okay. The animals are suffering as you go through this learning curve. Is that fair to say?
No, not any worse than you are at BAS.
Why do you say that?
Because it's the same process. How many animals are adopted out at BAS right now?
And I don't know. But what I'm saying, though, is that was a going concern. And I'm not supporting
what was a going concern?
The animal shelter, as the Brazos Animal Shelter, was a going concern. You were starting from baseline zero with the Bryan Animal Care Center.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's going to take you time to get there. And in the meantime, do the animals suffer? The animals from Bryan, do they suffer
because of that? No, they have good care, you know, and they wait till as long as they can if they have to euthanize them. So
Right. If the euthanasia rate, in fact, is disproportionately high because of that.
Yeah, now that would be a different story.
And that would be
a totally different story, but we're not there yet.
And you have no control over that situation because that's animals, right? I mean, you're not controlling the spay-neuter rate.
No, but we have some people that have gotten us a grant to spay and neuter animals. But we do have a little more control than is obvious because when we pick those animals up, we can make the animal control people, we can have them try to find who that animal belongs to as opposed to just drive it over to the shelter or to the care center.
So they're going to burn gas while they drive around the neighborhood?
I don't know,
but
they can, you know, it may be cheaper. I don't know that for sure, but there's other ways to get those animals back in the hands of the owner.
So would you be in favor of mandatory chipping for animals?
You know,
because you put the scanners in the animal control agent's hand.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
But I've looked at that. I've been working on this for about 3 years, and some people say that that's not good for the animal. So I guess if the vet says that, you know, some animals react to that chip when it's installed under their skin, so I guess you could have some kind of exception for those. But yeah, that's not a totally foolproof way, but it's a better way than we have now with our tag system.
I don't
especially if College Station does their tag, county's got their own tag, and we got a different tag, so.
Now, and then, of course, the dollar expenditure that you've got. I mean, you've already budgeted for what more than what the contract with the Brazos Animal Shelter was going to be.
Right.
Is there any way that you can now at this point say that, in fact, you're going to not be over your budget projection for a year down the road or 2 years down the road?
Yeah, I think so, because when this started, well, when the Animal Shelter Advisory Committee started, our people, we had a committee that did a study, and they looked through that and recommended that the city operate the shelter, and it was about a $300,000 deal then. So,
okay, and as I mentioned, your executive director quit.
Oh yeah, well,
now, and so, and yeah, I understand that happened. Yeah. So,
but we got a guy that stepped in that's already on the city staff that's a tremendous manager. So I think we're probably better off.
Is this something where you want to go? I mean, that's he or she have some interest in doing that?
Oh yeah, yeah, forever. He's been involved with it when they've been starting the bidding process and all that. So.
Okay.
Corey's a great guy.
I want to read you something today that is from Van Staveren Small Animal Clinic, and it was posted
last night. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen it.
Well, I want you to comment. This is from Van Staveren Small Animal Hospital, which is a veterinary service in College Station. We want you to know to take cautionary measures when adopting animals from the Bryan Animal Center, located where the Brazos Animal Shelter used to be. We have already seen two cases of parvo puppies from this shelter, and we want you to all be aware of the risks associated with adopting from them. They do not test, vaccinate, or treat the animals that are brought to the clinic. We love and appreciate your animals and your pets.
Yeah. Well, maybe we need to do that.
Right.
That's a hole in the system. We need to do that.
That's a major hole, Mike.
Well, I haven't talked to Hugh about that, so I don't know the details. I don't know. That may be just a fluke,
Well, parvo is going to happen. I understand.
Exactly.
That's, and I'm sure that there have been cases at the Brazos Animal Shelter in the past. But the idea that that's not a baseline, that you test them and
vaccinate
them.
It could be. Maybe they made a mistake. I'll have to talk to Hugh about that. But as far as I know, we have a veterinarian that checks at the shelter, and he's pretty hard on them. And we're up to speed on everything we're supposed to be doing. So, but there's going to be issues like that to start off with, just like any business that you have that you're not familiar with. But in the long run, I think, with Hugh Walker running that sucker, I mean, he is really – I've seen him out there walking animals and shoveling dog crap, So, I mean, he's dedicated to doing a good job over there. They all are. And they weren't there like a year ago when we were trying to figure out what to do. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so I think that was part of the problem with getting that bid – that bid process was so long, but I think they've done a lot of study on it, and they understand the process now, and they're dedicated to making it work. So
okay, and I want to go back to one more thing.
You know, they can sabotage it. Clearly.
Well, sure. Well, yeah. And again, most,
I don't think they
and
are.
It is. It's kind of there. Most cities don't want to be in the animal shelter business. I mean, you're cutting against the grain, certainly.
Right.
So whether it's funding for your animal facility, whether it's buying Briarcrest, where will the money come from to buy
Briarcrest? Well, I said in the open meeting that money is going to come from the same place we got the money from the Bridge to Nowhere. We issue bonds for that. There's always money available for economic development. Plus, when I was doing the analysis of the budget, we have about $60 million that's uncommitted, but it's in the process of the cash flow. But there's money available for that if the council decides to do it. There's always been money. I don't care if it's Health Science Center or buy downtown Bryan or whatever. We've had the money available.
Even though you're laying people off.
I'm not sure I agree with that. But I think we need to be more systematic with what we do. For instance, if we have real estate to sell, we need to look at the whole city to see if there's what the best thing is to sell, not just somebody drives by Muni and says, I'll offer you something for that. That doesn't make sense to me. And also with that parkland, we wound up with, there was an acre on Finfeather and Villa Maria that was next to some apartment buildings. They had to dedicate because that's part of the process. But you couldn't use it because it was kind of blocked off from everything, and it was growing up, and there was stuff going on in there. So we put it up for sale, and so the guy that donated it to us had to buy it back. So that's another thing I think we can get to. If you were going back to Briarcrest, if you were to add Briarcrest in there, not dispose of Muni, you could have like a park bank, parkland bank, like they have wetland banks, so that when you did your development, you wouldn't necessarily have to take up your good ground space that you could build a house on.
You'd buy into the system to do it someplace else.
Or we don't wind up with something in the ditch that's a park,
So, well, now College Station's had that problem. Your maintenance ends up offsetting any pluses that you'd have in a situation like that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Always fun to have you in here.
Thank you very much.
Makes for good radio.
Yeah.
Glad you're feeling better, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
I'm great, and thank you for doing this. And I want to say one thing. The people in this And Brian and College Station both were really great to me. I got cards and letters. You know, it's at times you're really down because you don't think you're going to ever recover. But I got a card or a call or somebody came by to visit and wished me good luck and to keep on going, and it was really helpful. I really appreciate
Glad
it.
Thank
you, everybody.
Mike Sutherland, thanks a lot.